Ventnor City Planning Board meeting, January 8th, 2025.
Please, please.
Set to go.
I'd like to welcome everyone to the first meeting of the new year, 2025. It's January 8th. We're all here. We're going to rock and roll and get this meeting going. So with that, this meeting is being held in accordance with due public notice thereof and according to the Sunshine Law of the State of New Jersey. Notice that this meeting was advertised in the press and the current, and a copy of same has been posted on the bulletin board in the municipal building. The Ventnor City Planning Board is now in session. We rise and salute the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Will the board administrator please call the roll?
Mayor Kribel?
Here.
Commissioner Van Gris?
Here.
Jay Cook?
Here.
Roman Zabby Hutch?
Here.
Dan Smith III?
Here.
Mike Wiesen?
Here.
Peter Tocco?
Here.
Greg Gaskell?
Here.
Wendy Bartlett?
Here.
Jessica Stilling?
Here.
Absent are Tom Halpin, Lorraine Salata, and Tim Coop.
At this time, as in the annual meeting at the beginning of the year, we will do board reorganization before we start the agenda. The first on the agenda will be is to elect the board chairman. May I have nominations, please?
I'd like to nominate Jay Cook.
Other nominations? Hearing none, nominations are now closed. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you very much. The ayes have it. I appreciate the vote. The next is vice chairman. May I have nominations for the vice chairman, please?
Yes, Roman Zabiak.
Any other nominations? Hearing none, nominations are hereby closed. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Roman, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
And that's it. Now we have our current board engineer and planner, Roger McLaren. Are there any nominations for that position?
Nominate Roger McLaren.
Any other nominations? Nominations are hereby closed. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Congratulations, Roger.
Thank you.
Right. Next on the agenda is the solicitor. We have Leo Manos. There are other nominations.
I'll nominate Leo.
Any other nominations at this point? They're closed. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? None. Leo, congratulations.
Thank you.
And finally, the most auspicious of all, our board administrator. We have in here Carmela Malfit. And are there any other nominations?
Carmela Malfit.
May I have nominations, please? Carmela?
Nominate Carmela Marfa.
Other nominations are now closed. All those in favor?
Aye.
That completes the reorganization of members. And now we have to go into that of meeting dates. Before you have meeting dates listed. Please peruse those dates. Are there any questions or dates that may be of suspect? Oh. January, are there any other board members? Are there any dates that are suspect? Where it would be a problem for a conflict.
The only one I see, Chairman, is
Memorial Day, I don't think we should be meeting on that day.
No, I don't think we should. Yes, so we're going to remove from our list March 26th, Memorial Day, as a non-meeting day. That will be removed.
May 26th.
And May 26th.
May.
In the fall, are there any other dates that we have a problem with? We have Monday, November 24th, as needed, which would be an optional meeting, and Wednesday, or Monday to March, December 22nd, as an optional meeting as well, and we'll keep it that way. At this time,
I think we need a motion to accept the meeting dates.
Shall I read them? I usually read them into the minutes.
Okay.
At this time, the meeting agenda shall be, which I'll read into the minutes, January, Wednesday, the 8th, and Monday, the 22nd, February.
27th.
27th, pardon me. February, Wednesday, the 12th, Monday, the 24th. March, Wednesday, the 12th, Monday, the 24th. April, Wednesday, the 9th, Monday, the 28th. May, Wednesday, the 14th, no second meeting. June, Wednesday, the 11th, Monday, the 23rd. July, Wednesday, the 9th, Monday, the 28th. August, Wednesday, the 13th, Monday, the 25th. September, Wednesday, the 3rd, Monday, the 22nd. October, Wednesday, the 8th, Monday, the 27th. November, Wednesday, the 12th, Monday, the 24th, is an optional meeting as needed. December, Wednesday, the 10th, and then Monday, the 22nd, is an optional meeting as needed. And then the first meeting in the month of January shall be Wednesday, the 14th. That is the immediate dates and agenda for the coming year. There is one other appointment that may have a motion for approval on those meeting dates.
I'll make the motion.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
There is one other committee that we do have that was not in the reorganization and will put in, that is the By Right Subdivision Committee. That's presently Peter Taco, Tim Coop, and Wendy Bartlett. Their nominations for said committee.
They're willing to serve again, I nominate all three.
Other nominations?
Tim's already in because he's not here, so he stays.
Okay, well, nominations are hereby closed. All those in favor?
Aye.
And that's the case. That carries. Congratulations, members of that committee. You've done a fine job over the past year. And for those who are attending, the purpose of this committee is to streamline the process and help with the costs of doing business here in the city. At the same time, we have swearing in, we have reappointment of new board members. At this time, we have one board member present who has been reappointed, that's Greer Gaskell, and we need a swearing in of Greer.
Okay, I just have to swear Greer in for another term. I think we'll have to do Tim Coop and maybe one other board member at a later meeting.
Yes.
Greer, if you could just stand up, raise your right hand, repeat after me. Aye, state your name.
Aye, Greer Gaskell.
Do solemnly swear or affirm.
Do solemnly swear or affirm.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of New Jersey.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of New Jersey.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same.
And the governments established in the United States and in this state.
And the governments established in the United States and in this state.
Under the authority of the people.
Under the authority of the people.
And that I will faithfully, impartially, and justly.
And I will faithfully, partially, and justly.
Perform all duties of the office of planning board member.
Perform all duties of the officers, planning board member.
According to the best of my ability.
According to the best of my ability.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Thank you.
Congratulations, Greer.
And you could just get that to Carmella at some point. Welcome back.
Welcome back, Greer. Congratulations.
Get the boot.
Okay. Moving on, we have adoption of minutes from the December 11th meeting. Are there any amendments or changes to said minutes? Hearing none, may I have a motion for adoption of the December 11th meeting minutes?
I'll make a motion.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Ayes have it, the minutes are hereby adopted. We have two resolutions this evening to be adopted. They are P1 of 2025, 226 North Roxborough Avenue, and P2 of 2025, 128 North Princeton Avenue. Are there any amendments or changes to said resolutions? Hearing none, may I have a motion and a second for adoption?
I'll make the motion.
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it.
Abstain.
And one abstention from Commissioner here. At this time, that is hereby adopted, and that should complete all of the reorganization and housekeeping reports and adoptions of prior meetings. We will now go into the agenda for this evening, which will be, which will contain four applications. The first of those applications will be 13 South Weymouth Avenue, which is new construction of a two-family dwelling. Do you have anybody to be sworn in, Mr. Bailson?
Yes, Mr. Cook, I do. Board members, my name is Chris Bailson. I represent Mr. Bailson. Long speak is best. I have John Barnhart from Ralph Fay. John Barnhart is a planner, engineer, Ralph Fay, an architect from the Mark Spikey office.
Question, could everyone here in the room, do we have to move the mic closer, or is everyone? Okay. Is it in the back, everyone here well?
Everybody all right?
Okay. Excellent.
Chris, excuse me. Chris.
Okay. We have one abstention.
Mike Wiesen.
And Mike Wiesen, who is physically removing his presence from the board. You can bring your party forward. And
all right, Mr. Barnhart, Mr. Fay, just give us your name and business address for the record. I'll swear you in together.
John Barnhart, office address 400 North Dover Avenue, Atlantic City. Ralph Fay, 300 North Broad Street, Doylestown, Pennsylvania.
Is that
F-A-Y? I don't mean
Barnhart, that's E-Y. An engineer, Mr. Fay.
I'm sorry, last name, I'm sorry.
F-E-Y.
F-E-Y.
And okay. You are an architect?
I am.
Are you licensed in the state of New Jersey?
Let's get him sworn in. You can ask him questions. Do you swear, please raise your right hand, do you swear affirm the testimony I'll give tonight will be the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Ralph, since you're new to this board, just come here before you my
firm is associated with Mark Zawacki. We've done projects together for the last 4 years. We're licensed in New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Delaware, Wyoming. And that's it. We're in our 38th year of licensing architecture and a 14th person firm. I sit on several historic architectural review boards, and I sit on several boards as well.
Can you license in New Jersey then?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, the credentials are acceptable. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And Mr. Barnhart has appeared before this board numerous times as an engineer and a planner, so his credentials are accepted as well.
Okay.
Now, we have Roger McLernan to be sworn in,
okay.
Our planner and engineer. Roger, will you please be sworn in?
Mr. McLernan, do you swear affirm the testimony you'll give throughout this entire evening will be the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Okay. You go right into your application and continue through.
I'm going to my reference to George Arnold, who's the owner of 13 South Weymouth Avenue. It's an existing non-conforming.
Your mic, go closer to your mic, please.
Sure. I represent George Arnold, who's the owner of 13 South Weymouth Avenue. It's a structure that has a duplex. It fronts on both Weymouth and Frankfort. Unusual. but not atypical in the area. It's identified as Lot 10, Block 53. It's the RR2 Northeast Redevelopment Zone, which allows you, Noah, to rebuild a duplex if you have an existing non-conforming duplex for which a certificate of non-conformity has been issued. In this instance, I provided Ms. Malfara with a resolution Z16-1997, when the zoning board at the time granted approval of a certificate of non-conformity for this property, acknowledging that it is an existing non-conforming duplex, but it was a duplex before the law changed, precluding duplexes. Right, I have a copy of it if you would like. A copy of it.
That's right.
Therefore, what Mr. Jarrett would like to do is simply replicate style, the building that's there now, to build a two-family dwelling, one side, one front on Frankfurt, one front on Monmouth. He was able to design the structure for Mr. Black and Mr. Fay. The only variance to be requested this evening are for front yard setback, both frontages of 7 feet to principal structure, where 12 is otherwise required. The porches meet requirement of 5. Only ask for the building to be closer than it's permitted to be, but I think its condition exists and is consistent with that block. If you see the pictures I provided with the application package, the existing structure is overdue for updating and replacement. Of course, the replacement would need the state and local flood requirements, FEMA requirements for the end state, and that question is set at the edge of the zone. We're also able to bring parking into the flags, as well as landscaping. You'll see right, we can escape, we can explain to you how that goes. The only two variances are front setback on each, legally approved on the way with that frontage, that's not the fact, better on way with the fact, tomorrow. And John, let me ask you, start out by getting the benefit of the property surrounding and such development of the street once
sure. So the property, as Chris has pointed out, is known as 13 South Weymouth Avenue. It is just a little bit south of Vetner Avenue. Immediately adjacent to it, I'll say to the north or toward Vetner Avenue, is a two-family or a duplex structure that was built about 10 years ago or so. Adjacent to that structure is currently a vacant lot, which takes you out to Vetner Avenue. As you go toward the ocean, you have a mixture of buildings. The majority of those buildings are multifamily buildings. Most of them, if they haven't been redeveloped, they are ground floor apartments with units above them. A number of properties have been renovated, and we have also done, as the board is aware, in recent times, some newer construction on Frankfurt Avenue, which this property also has frontage on. And so there's some new construction on Frankfurt. In large, it is a residential area, multifamily. There is a commercial structure, I'll say, across the street, slightly diagonal across the street from this building. The building has kind of outlived its useful life. It's an older structure. It is low. It does not comply with regard to FEMA standards. The site has been maintained, but it's time for redevelopment of this parcel. And as the board is very well aware, this North Beach area has seen various projects, but these parcels, they're hard to redevelop because they're small parcels. They are all multifamily. Developers slash owners don't want to give up on the number of units that they have on those parcels, so it becomes difficult to create a way to redevelop them in a fashion that works for the owner, but obviously also works within the guidelines and confines of the land use ordinance. So with this application, we do have, as Chris pointed out, we do have a certificate of nonconformity that was issued in 1997 identify the fact that this building is a legal two-unit building. It predated zoning. It's a two-unit structure. So what we would like to do is to completely demolish that structure and build a more current-day structure, a structure that we think is beautifully designed, has a great curb appeal, as you see on Mr. Zawacki's plan in his front elevation, meets all the FEMA standards, and does its very best to comply with the bulk and area standards, given the fact that we are dealing with a lot that is only 31 feet wide, and it is 80 feet deep. So it's a small lot. It's 2,490 square feet in total area. So what Mr. Zawacki has designed is essentially a front-back attached unit. So you've got access to a unit from Weymouth Avenue and access to your unit from Frankfurt Avenue. Both of the avenues, both the Frankfurt frontage and the Weymouth frontage, will appear as the front of the building. Many of the structures along Frankfurt, as you know, kind of appear as the back of the building, although some of them do have their frontage on Frankfurt. But we believe that this design helps improve the character of Frankfurt Avenue from an aesthetic standpoint, and as a dramatic improvement, obviously, from what sits there today. So the variances that are necessary, we think, are rather minor in nature. And they essentially are existing nonconformities with regard to the lot size. And then the variances from a setback perspective are dealing with the building front yard setback and then the deck front yard setback. I think Mr. Balanson mentioned that the deck complies. The deck does not comply. It does require a variance. So as per the ordinance, the requirement for a front yard for the building is 12 feet. We're proposing 7 feet on both Frankfurt and Weymouth Avenue, and the decks are allowed to project up to 5 feet into the front yard setback, which would require them to be 7 feet from the front property line. We are proposing that the decks be at 5 feet from the front property line. The reason we think that those variances are justified is because if you look at the development pattern of Weymouth Avenue, the majority of the structures, renovated ones and even the newer one next to it, have structure almost up to the front property line. So we are giving some relief on the front by having the deck step back to a point of 5 feet and then the building step back to a point of 7 feet. But the building does step back actually even further if you follow this dashed line, that's the building above. The ground level is open to allow for parking under the building, as well as get access to a parking garage area.
Can I shut this off?
It makes turn it. Yeah. You saw it. Should be right back on.
There we go. So the ground floor, as you would access the units, unit from either Weymouth or Frankfurt, is open for two-car wide exterior parking space and then access to a one-car garage. The building above starts at the second level, and you can see while we are proposing a 7-foot front yard setback for a portion of the building, it actually steps back another 2 feet, so there is some initial relief. And you can also see from the front elevation, there's a lot of architectural appeal going on with the front elevation, which the front elevation will be a mirror image both on Weymouth and on Frankfurt Avenue.
So Weymouth Avenue front yard setback is included over what's there today, it's on 5L, 27.
Yeah, that's correct. So how do you justify a project like this? Well, this is not really a density discussion because the project or the property does have two legal units on it. This is a redevelopment project that we believe advances the purpose of the Municipal Land Use Act in a couple of fashions. First of all, we believe that this is a project that promotes the general welfare in that we're tearing down a building, building two quality units to be for sale or rent within the community that has seen tremendous redevelopment over the last 2 years, and we hope that it continues on. We also believe that this project provides a much more desirable visual environment through the creative design techniques that Mr. Zawacki has utilized by taking advantage of the double frontage, which you don't have that opportunity very often, but taking advantage of the double frontage and creating a nice curb appeal on both of those streets. The other option here would have been to do a standard over and under duplex with your frontage on Weymouth and your back of your building being on Frankfurt Avenue. You would tend to not get at nearly as an aesthetic of an appealing building if you were to go in that direction as what Mr. Zawacki and Mr. Fay have proposed. Yes, sir.
Because Frankfurt Avenue, it's not one of the narrower streets with less likely what he means.
No, 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 not at all. It's a... It's not an alley where all the backs of buildings happen to front. It's a true street. It's just that going back in time, the majority of the homes faced Weymouth Avenue and what's the next one after Frankfurt?
Right. Hillside.
Hillside, yeah, thank you. Faced Weymouth and Hillside. But what's happening is as those properties get redeveloped, people are creating a much better aesthetic on Frankfurt Avenue, and this goes to assist with that, with creating a much more aesthetic and enhanced streetscape. That is correct. It's respecting the front yard and making it look the way that it should. So, based on the purposes of zoning that I just advanced, we believe that the positive criteria are established. With regard to the negative criteria, is there a substantial detriment to the zone plan or zoning ordinance? As I mentioned, this property has a certificate of nonconformity. It, as a matter of right, has the ability to have two units on the subject site, allowing the developer or the owner to tear this building down and redevelop it in a new project such as this. We think really only advances the purposes of your municipal land use, of your zoning ordinance and also your master plan. With regard to the negative criteria, is there a substantial detriment to the public good? I would argue that this is a benefit to the public. This is not putting more people into the property. This is not creating additional traffic. This is just a betterment of an existing development.
Yeah, there is one. There are plans, right? The units that are too large to accommodate.
No, they're modestly sized units. They're not going to have, you know, six, seven, eight people in them. They're small units. That's correct. One other variance that I did need to mention is with regard to curb cuts. We are permitted one 18-foot wide curb cut or two 10-foot curb cuts. We do have a curb cut for each of the properties. They are 18-foot wide. They do comply in their individual state, but because there's two of them, we technically would need a variance for those curb cuts. Correct. One other topic I do want to mention is with regard to landscape coverage. What we are going to propose to do is comply with the landscape coverage requirements. We calculated the impervious coverage at 72%. All the non-impervious areas down the side yards will be lawn area. We are going to, although they're small, we're going to implement some wheel strips at each one of the driveways to just kind of break up so we don't have a straight piece of concrete along the front of the building. We'll be able to put some shrubbery in the corners, put grass between the wheel strips, and by doing so, that will allow our front yard landscape to comply as well at the 5%. So we can comply with the landscape ordinance with those changes to create wheel strips for each of the parking spaces, both on Frankfurt and Weymouth Avenue. That's really all I have.
Yes, did you elicit what the frontage of the lot is and the side setbacks, please?
Sure. The lot frontage, the lot width is 31 feet, and the side yard setbacks comply. They are 4 feet on each side.
Okay. What is the total area of each dwelling unit?
About 1,800 square feet.
About 1,800?
Yes, sir.
Three bedrooms or four?
Three bedrooms.
And how many parking places are you supplying per unit?
Each unit will have three spaces, two exterior and one in the garage.
The entire site has one.
Right. And in the garage or areas, do you have a dedicated area for storage or any others, a room for storage in the garage?
It's not shown on the plan, Mr. Cook, but we can show that for sure.
But, you know, what size is the garage? It is a closed garage, correct?
Yes. The garage is 21 feet deep.
By what width?
8 foot
four,
so 21 feet
So at its narrowest point, it's 10 feet, and there is an area for about 50% of it that jumps out to 11 feet. So it's between 10 and 11 wide and 21 feet long.
Well, how are you going to use the garage for a car and storage?
Well, that, depending on how you operate your home, or whether it's a cell home or what have you, if you need to use the entire garage for storage, that's the nice thing about the fact that we still have two exterior parking spaces. So even if the entire garage were used for storage, the site would still comply with regard to parking. Because there's three off-street spaces per unit.
Yes. One of the aspects in this area is, you know, when we have garages, we like the garages to be used. And if we can create more parking places, we can't ask you to do more than the zone requires, but we can encourage it in that regard. So one of the problems that has been in the city is that garages don't get used as garages. They get used as basements. So the question becomes, is the function here? And that is the case. And it's a secure area.
John, the room next to the elevator.
I just noticed that it's called out for air handling unit, which isn't going to work from a flood perspective.
Right. So you got a storage room there.
Yeah, so Mr. Cook, we're actually going to have, we are ready to have a storage room designed. It's just labeled on. You see the space next to the elevator? Labeled AHU or air handling unit?
Right.
That's not going to work because of the elevation in this area.
That's exactly right.
That's going to have to be built in somewhere else, so we can use that. That room can be used for storage.
Right. How big is that room?
Same size the elevator shaft.
6x6, basically.
Yeah, I'm going to say roughly 6x6. It might be 5x6.
Okay. Yeah, well, it's tough to get bicycles in and out and so on. The aspect is in these plans, if it's possible to work it out, is that we have dedicated space within the garage and be able to park a car in there too at the same time. The electric vehicles are creeping in and so on. And at times we get more vehicles, we inherit vehicles that weren't planned. So just be aware of that. Please proceed.
That's all I have as far as testimony, where I'm happy to answer any questions.
Board members, have any questions of the applicant?
I have a question, but it's to the architect. So let him make his presentation, and I have a question.
He's just here for questions.
All
right. Usually the expectation is that when you knock down a structure, the expectation is that the new design has no variances. But because this is an undersized lot, I can appreciate that there's going to be a necessity for variances. My only question is, can the front setbacks on both sides be tweaked a little bit to increase the setback? Would it be possible? It seems like there's an extension on both living rooms. Would it be possible architecturally to just reduce that a little bit, to make the variance less?
So I'm going to answer that in two ways. First, I'm going to answer your first question, which is why do we have the request for the variance? And that really stems from the current side yards is 1.7 or 1.8 feet. We're increasing that side yard to 4 feet.
Yes.
So we're more than doubling the side yard. That's a significant amount of area that we don't have to use within the building. We're all know that we can probably leave it the way it was, but we're choosing to be more compliant. The area that is not as important would be the projecting porch area that I'm scribbling on right there. It doesn't change that projection, but it could change that projection. And I guess the question comes back to is, where are you looking for?
Any reduction in the scale of variances, that's all. If it's possible. I do appreciate the fact that it is an undersized lot. You're doing a great job on the side setbacks, so if it's possible, that would be great.
I would say able to scale back half of it, but it doesn't change the number. After that, we're starting to impact the layout of the unit.
when you step back foot, you know, that would change the...
Could I just make a comment? It appears that...
Doesn't make that much difference in whether this is the block or not.
We don't do no further.
It appears to me that the new design actually improves on the existing nonconformity on Waymouth Avenue.
It improves the way the fire setback, but not trying that. Our preference would be to leave it alone, we can afford this information, say push it back, make sure everything is possible. So the answer is yes, it can be done, preference is not to do it. We think in light of what's being done, new side yards, enhancing the structure, making it reasonably sized, you need this major first for you. We think it's a nice project, we know the variances.
Oh, it is a nice project.
No variances, despite the fact a lot, it's not the same size as this. Our preference is to leave it alone.
Could the architect explain the benefits of kicking it back or the detriments, the positives and negatives of reducing it for the board, please?
Sure. So the area that we would probably be looking to reduce, if you can hear me, would be the deck. The deck is currently 5 feet on both fronts. Any less than a 5-foot deck is probably not usable at that point to put the furniture on. So then we would be reducing the living room, and as you can see on the drawing, the living room is not a large living room.
And what about the architectural interest of the front of the building?
We're trying not to have it flat.
Okay. In other words, you have an angular, in the middle of the building, you have an angular, a wall, or right angle. So the wall is stepped back for two reliefs, if you will.
We end up with flat facade.
Right, so you have a flat front. And so you're trying to, the objection is, you're trying to give architectural appeal and not have a flat front.
Thank you. What is that?
Okay. Question, Roman? You have the answers on that?
Yes.
In there. Are there any other questions?
I have one. I heard that you have a landscaping plan that includes the space between the wheels and the driveway, but I didn't hear Governor Strip. Did I miss that?
No, Governor Strip is included.
Governor Strip is included, okay.
We will provide Governor Strip on equal most.
In grass.
Correct.
Not perfect.
Species required, right?
They're preferred. They're not required, but the board typically prefers at least one.
They're shown on the plan, the very corners.
Make a suggestion. Chris, can I make a suggestion?
There's only schedule.
There's one per front, so I think that's fair.
One per front is fair.
If there's any questions you have, I suggest you review the landscaping plan with Roger before you draft it so that we can take best advantage of it.
You can have the resolution on the discussion board.
Right, exactly. But if you would take care to review it, Roger would be very, it'll be helpful to you. So we can get the most optimal plan. And we can only ask you to conform, that's all. Thank you. Have you gone over Roger's review of the? Are you congruent with it?
I would like to make a couple comments.
Okay, Roger, you're up.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, board members. The report is based on the December 5th, 2024 application of George Czar, 13 South Waymouth Avenue, Block 53, Lot 10. Seeking C variances, and I had possible D variance based on the proof that it was a duplex or two family unit before. This is located in RR2 zone, which the side yard setbacks, as opposed to R7 for a side-by-side or two family, are 4 feet versus 5 feet. I just wanted to point that out, that if there's any consideration, if there's any confusion on why that setback is different than a typical two family. And also for the sake of argument, or the sake of clarification, this is a two-family dwelling, not a duplex. The concern that I have from a planning perspective is Frankfurt Avenue, on both sides of the street in this block, they're all backyards, they're all rear yards. You're gonna have one front yard looking at everybody else's backyard. Versus if you had the duplex top and bottom, same setbacks, you can put the
provide all the parking from Frankfurt Avenue, which every other dwelling on the property on that lot does, and still get the same end product. And I'm not objecting to the side-by-side front and front, but again, one of the objectives of the R2 Northeast Ventnor redevelopment plan is to keep Frankfurt Avenue as more like a rear yard setting, and perhaps even narrow it down so it's more like an alleyway versus a throughway or a street. This plan doesn't really follow that. Just a consideration for the board and for the applicant. Other than that, I really have no other comments. And again, this is the RR2 zone, and that's my comments based on that redevelopment plan from 2003, I guess. So they're my comments.
Question, if I could, Mr. Chairman. So,
please.
Kind of a similar concern, if you will, but on Weymouth Avenue. Most of the homes on Weymouth don't have driveways. So you're going to lose parking on street. There's a lot of, that's a congested street. It's a heavily used street. Anything around the Wawa's, you know, all heavily. Peter, you've got properties. You work on properties there. You're up and down their streets all the time. That's one of my concerns, is taking that parking off of Weymouth. Because if you go down there, I'm looking at an aerial, there's a couple of properties on the opposite side of the street that do have driveways, but not on this side. Initially, I kind of like the front back. So Roger brought that up. They're going to be looking at backyards.
Right.
You're going to be looking at driveways all around you, specifically right across the street. It's aesthetics. I mean, that's buyer beware, I guess. Initially, like I said, I kind of like the front back. It kind of breaks it up a little bit. Gives you your own unit almost, instead of top and bottom where you have somebody being noisy above you or below you. Not one that's better than the other, but there are concerns that I would make the property owner aware of that might.
There is actually another property on that street that is set up the same way.
Is it?
Yeah, a couple houses towards Atlantic.
Okay.
Yeah, it doesn't present itself as two fronts, but it is, in fact, two units back to back.
I kind of like the scene, you know, like I said, I like the architectural style of having two fronts on the. Look, you go down Frankfurt, it's not a pretty sight. It's people's garages, their backyards. The existing home doesn't use the parking space for parking. There's a boat sitting there. So that aspect of it, I do like the architectural design of having that two front facades.
Mr. Chairman, one of the reasons that the architect suggested was the constitution of Frankfurt. It's width and width, the right of way. It looks like a regular side street.
The right of way does. The cart way is more narrow.
It's a nice bright, wide right of way, so I'll say.
Understand the right of way, but the cart way is more narrow.
Is it 26 foot wide cart way? Is Wayman
curve? It's not quite as wide as maybe a couple feet short. It's just the parking which makes it right now.
Wayman presents itself as parking primarily on the street.
Right.
And that's why it feels like a smaller street.
Maybe that's.
I would be concerned with trying to access that driveway on Weymouth.
Yeah.
Right.
Because of the fact that there is.
Well, I think because it's
so much.
But it's 18 feet. I think that's wide enough.
Without that, you couldn't get it.
But with cars parked on both sides, there are a car parked on the other side of the street. It's going to be very difficult to access that with a 7 foot frontage. It's going to be very difficult to access that garage. Because we saw the problem over here on Newport Avenue when we laid out the five homes there where the old St. James School was. And they have much more frontage over there.
John, from the columns to the curb line, what's that distance?
Columns to curb, about 17 feet.
Yeah.
So that's, to me, that gives you enough room.
With the garage on that side.
Because the parking spaces are going to be pretty much under the structure, right?
They are almost entirely.
Yeah, so while you may only have 5 feet to the property line or 7 feet to the sidewalk, you've got another 10 feet or so to the curb.
Yeah, and the building wall at the ground level is actually 19 feet back. It's about 18.
Okay.
So it is. I mean, I'm very familiar with that. And
you guys did a project there.
I mean, 10 years ago, we did the house next door, yeah.
And frankly, I wish that we had thought it this way. Frankly, you know, and all the streets are better. I mean, there are no rear streets in Vetner anymore. It's, I mean, as these other properties on the street get redeveloped, I think you're going to see more and more of this. While there are a lot of backyards back there, they're not all backyards, if you drive the street. There are some fronts. And this just goes to make this just helps make that street more beautiful. So if the developer's comfortable with it and it's going to make the street more beautiful, I don't see the negative associated.
Because you don't get the complaints when the residents move in.
Right.
Guess where they come.
There are two of these double frontage homes on Victoria Avenue, and I they do improve the aesthetics of a duplex.
Right.
It feels as though it's a single facade when it's really two. And the ones on Victoria have the same exact condition, access on the back and front, and it's aesthetically pleasing. I didn't think about the parking until it was mentioned.
Yeah, but the other side.
I'm not opposed to this. I just want to raise some of the concerns that I would have.
Yeah, I don't have concerns, actually.
But the other side of it is it's a more attractive opportunity for those who would come in and buy an obsolete dwelling and replace it and then redesign it so that they can get a better feel for it. So with that, there's a bonus there for somebody in design that they don't have in other cities. And Vetner can benefit from that by having this available. That's the other side of the coin. Because the goal eventually is to replace all obsolete housing stock.
Well, I don't know if that's... my goal is not to remove older homes and replace them all.
No.
Certain ones that are in poor condition, like this one.
Yes.
I think the architect kind of helped me with... initially liked... Roman's suggestion of shortening it up, when the architect talked about how they had to squeeze the building in to meet the side yard setbacks, that kind of helps me with the fronts.
Sure.
So that helped me with those variances. So I think, you know, as long as the people who are buying it are aware of the parking concerns and things they might have to deal with there, look, they're providing more than required parking, which is always a good thing.
Which is a bonus.
You're not normally making more parking spaces on an island, so it's nice to get a few more back.
Well, may I ask the architect, is there anything you could do to the front of the home on Weymouth Avenue to make it more desirable and easier to access? Do you have any suggestions from a parking standpoint?
Yeah, I mean, the comments are that it's more of a vehicular movement standpoint. I don't see it as an issue. I really
okay.
don't. It's you're talking about passenger vehicles. Yes, Weymouth is congested, but you can get down. Even if you have a car parked next to you, the building to the left does not have a driveway, so you could have a car parked next to you. You know, even if you're in the center of the street because you have cars parked on both sides of the street, it's a fairly easy swing in
right.
those. You know, we don't have, you know, there are problems going out at the front property line. I really don't see it as an issue.
So then we're in good shape then. Thank you. Okay. Board members, are you complete with questions or do you have some more? At this time, I'd like to open up to the public. Is there anyone in the public who wishes to make comment on this application? Hearing none and seeing no signal, the public portion is now closed for this application. Are you completing your comments?
Yes.
Chris, you have the floor.
I think we've heard enough. As well, you know that there is a driveway, Chris Mayer, right across the street. So it might be helpful not to have cars parked on the curb line at this location. To help that car access the driveway.
Other than that,
customer, not me. Deeply, I'm not
going to jump. I couldn't understand what you said.
I'm trying to convey quickly was on the Weymouth Avenue frontage, there is a driveway right across the street.
Right.
So it might be helpful to that driveway to not have cars parked on the curb line.
That makes sense.
Along with
it helps both.
Just,
yeah. Yes, it's a relationship that helps both houses. Okay, are you complete?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Board members, any questions of our professionals or at this time? If not, we'll have a motion, a solicitor frame a motion, please, as they are done in the affirmative.
Okay, it's a C variance application because the use they're proposing for the two-family dwelling, it's allowed use in the redevelopment area because they have an existing two-family with, that's valid with the CNC. So it's a C variance, and the variance serves follows. I'll note the lot area is an existing non-conforming condition. They have 2,490 square feet where 3,600 is the requirement. And the lot width, same thing, they have 31 feet or 50 feet required. Front yard setback along Waymouth Avenue to the dwelling, 12 feet required, 7 feet is proposed. Same thing on the other side to Frankfurt, 12 feet required, 7 feet is proposed. And then for the decks along Waymouth, the requirement 7 feet, they're proposing 5. Same thing along Frankfurt to the deck, 7 feet required, they're proposing 5. In terms of curb cuts, we allow 1 18-foot wide. They are proposing 2, obviously, because they have a frontage on each street. And then the conditions, the only specific condition I noted, they'll provide for 1 street tree along each frontage location to be approved in Mr. McLaren's discretion. And then the other standard conditions that we pretty much put in any approval, subject to anything else in Mr. McLaren's report, unless otherwise addressed, subject to any outside approvals that may be necessary, subject to any representations that the applicant made during the course of the hearing. All the standard conditions.
The existing room that with the air conditioning, they'll relabel it for storage, which, and the air conditioning, HVAC or air conditioning compressors will be relocated in there.
So noted. So we'll need a motion, second, and a roll call vote.
Do I have a motion, please?
I'll make the motion.
Have a second.
A second.
We'll have a roll call vote. State your reasons, please.
Mayor Kribel.
Thank you. I support the application. I think there's a number of positives here. The landscaping plan, the fact that this is a home that is beyond its useful lifetime is going to be replaced. It has a certificate of nonconformity. There are challenges, but as a, I think as has been stated, they've been thought through. The double curb cuts are a necessity with this type of plan. As I mentioned, the Victoria Avenue homes do add a lot of curb appeal. And knowing the other variance, the reducing of the home that would actually compact the floor space, I've seen this in homes in Ocean City where you struggle with that and you end up having difficulty finding clearances for things like something's got to give. In other words, and usually it's the bathrooms, the toilets don't have enough clearance around them, or the vanities have to be 18 inches deep. Things of that nature suffer when you compact the floor plan. They are already small units. So for those reasons, I see that there was an intentional balance being given that favored the design aspects. So for all those reasons, I support the application.
Commissioner Langreth?
I also support. I think the aesthetic appeal of the street frontage on both sides really is an interesting design to me. Never really seen that very often. I think that brings a lot to this project. Improved structure, obviously, improved parking, limited negative impact, in my opinion. We had no neighbors come out and talk about this project, so that weighs heavy on my decision. I do like the dual fronting units. I do like that. It really separates these uses to me. And I vote yes on the application.
Jay Cook?
Now, I'm going to vote yes on the application. I think, first of all, as a compact plan, they've done as much architectural feature design as they can within a small plan and make it work, and at the same time not price themselves out of the marketplace with everything. And two is they have enough forethought that these dwellings that have to conform to FEMA, because they have more steps and more height, now incorporate the shaft for an elevator. as populations age, they need more assistance. So buildings with elevators in the future will really become more desirable. So that's another interesting thing in the design itself. And then the ability to work with the side yards and permit a safety margin around the building, which is greater than 3 feet, so that for police and fire, be able to circulate around that building is paramount for public safety as well. And that test is being met. And of course, they're meeting FEMA, which adds to our discount rating and so on going through. But the main thing is they're balancing the use of parking, which is in great demand in that particular region, more so than many parts of the city. Parking is gold, and they're focusing and providing that for the future as well. And they've taken a property that is looking at, for a good example, and testing a portion, providing a design of 2 front, which may benefit and stimulate other properties to redevelop. So the end result is the master plan of the city that becomes enhanced, and overall the financial position of the city improves as well with the new dwellings coming in. So with that, I vote yes.
Roman Zadi Hutch.
I also support the application. I think all the variances are justified because of the nature of the site. I agree with all the positive comments made up to date, and I just wanted to add, parking is such an essentially important aspect to anything we do as a board, because it's something that's demanded the most. So I appreciate the fact that so many parking spots have been added. Thank you.
Dan Smith III.
I'm also in favor of the application. I think that the design, just based on the size of the lot, and had a lot of challenges, and I think that you did a really good job with the design and providing parking, a lot of positives with the decks, and you know, being a sure property. No one showed up to object, which is a plus. And I think all the other comments that have been brought forth, I agree with, and wish you good luck.
Peter Taco.
I also vote in favor of the application. I believe that the variances front and rear are warranted in order to put a viable project on that property. I also commend the architect on his creative use of different elevation fronts that really add to the look of that building, as opposed to some of the others on that street that have become just big boxes. Very interesting design. Nice work.
Greg Gaskell.
I also vote yes. I believe the positives outweigh the negatives, and it's a nice project.
Wendy Bartlett.
I'll also go in favor of the application. I like the Tenarian Indita redevelopment. I like the 2 frontages. I appreciate that there are no height variances requested, no coverage variances requested, and that you gave on the side. Nice project.
Jessica Spilling.
I'm going to vote in favor as well. I really do like that double frontage. I like that you're actually gaining that privacy by having both frontages, and that basically your porches are separated on each side. So I think as a buyer, I think that would actually be quite an advantage of that additional privacy. In terms of the setbacks, I think they're definitely warranted. I liked that you're actually providing that architectural detail in the front, and providing some dimension to the front. And I really like having, aesthetically, I think, having that double frontage. And I think also that parking, that curb cut, the 2 18-inch wide curb cuts is warranted as well, to have it, since you're providing actually more than enough parking here.
Congratulations, you are complete.
Yes.
Thank you.
And I'm still happy to. I don't know right now.
Okay. The next application is that of Vendor Holdings LLC, which is... which is 4900 Wellington Avenue.
Correct.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman and members of the board.
One second. Let the record reflect that Mr. Mike Wiesen has returned as a member, sitting member, and voting member of the board. Thank you. Proceed.
No problem. Good evening, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. Jason Tugel from the law firm of Pratt & Tugel and Maselli. Happy New Year, everybody. This is an application for 4900 Wellington Avenue. It's block 303, lot 2.01. Just a little bit of background on the property.
Is the application preliminary or preliminary and final?
It's preliminary. It's both preliminary. I'm going to get to that. But yes, it's both preliminary and final major site plan, correct?
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
So the property itself was a vacant building about 13 years ago. The applicant, who's here for the current project, subdivided the property into two lots, lots 2.01 and lots 2.02. The lot that is currently in use, 2.02, is a Dollar General with a Bank of America ATM in the parking lot. The applicant, for the last 13 years, was unsuccessful getting anyone to take the remaining portion of lot 2.01. We've worked diligently with the city over the last, I would say, year and a half to develop a redevelopment plan for the property as a whole, 4900 Wellington Avenue, in order to get something at the location on lot 2.01. The project before you, which this board saw as part of the ordinance process to adopt the redevelopment plan as its referral to the board, is for a approximately 123,000 square foot self-storage facility, four stories, and we're seeking preliminary and final major site plan approval in connection with that. As part of the application, as you can imagine, the property is going to receive some significant upgrades. The impervious coverage is going to go down significantly. There's going to be a lot of landscaping added. Right now, the site is basically a sea of pavement. The lighting will be improved. There's the pavement on site is really not in great shape based on the fact that there's no tenant on the site of the property. That's going to be significantly improved. So overall, from an aesthetic and site plan and overall improvement perspective, the site is going to be significantly upgraded from where it is today. The self-storage facility will be a state-of-the-art modern climate control facility pursuant to the redevelopment plan that was adopted by the city. It will also have boat and RV storage in the rear, which is, again, permitted use under the redevelopment plan. The self-storage facility will be open at 6 a.m. To 10 p.m. to its customers. The facility will also have a small retail component of office where someone can sign up to rent or lease a unit. They could also buy boxes and tape and things that are typically involved in a self-storage facility. The facility will also be secure. You won't be able to get into the facility if you're a customer without a keypad or a card, so it'll be secure at all times. Mr. Chairman, with me this evening, I have four witnesses that I plan on calling. I have a civil engineer, traffic engineer, architect, and professional planner. Now, the site, since it was part of the redevelopment process contemplated the site plan that's being proposed. So as your board engineer and planner pointed out in his report, there are no variances associated with the application. The application is fully conforming with the redevelopment plan, as is the purpose of going through the redevelopment process. We also reviewed the technical comments on your board professional reports, and we'll go through them obviously during testimony, but what I can say at the outset is that we will comply with all the technical comments from your professionals that were put forth in the his report. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I'd ask your permission to call our first witness, or we can swear them in, and then I can call.
We'd like your witnesses sworn first, please.
Yep.
And then at that point in time.
Now, you want to do a preamble first, or do you want to go in?
Not on this.
Okay, on this application, you'll take it all the way through.
Okay.
And then we'll have public comment at the appropriate time when you're complete. There'll be a rebuttal if you wish to have it. And at that point, and then we'll go to a conclusion to a vote.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, so why don't we, you guys can stand up, come up, go down the line, each give us your name and business address, and might as well specify your profession. I know civil engineer, engineer, planner, just so I can get all that straight, but go ahead.
Good evening, my name is Mikhail LaGuardia, my last name is spelled M-A-G, and this is on...
Thank you. My name is Michaela McGuire, last name spelled M-A-G-U-I-R-E. I'm a project manager at Stonefield Engineering and Design, located at 92 Park Ave in Rutherford, New Jersey. I'm a licensed professional engineer in the state of New Jersey, and I received my Bachelor of Science from the University of Delaware. I have over 7 years of experience.
Not to interrupt you, just... engineer is good enough for now. Oh. No, once I get you sworn in, we'll do all that.
You got the job. John Korak, last name C-O-R-A-K, traffic engineer for the project.
Okay, thanks. John.
Louis Vandeloot, V-A-N-D-E-L-O-E-C-H-T. I'm the architect.
You got that, Carm? Can you...
It's on the plans.
It's on the plans. All right, good. And finally,
Marcella Traina, last name T-R-A-I-N-A, professional planner.
Okay. And can the four of you each please raise your right hand? Each swear or affirm the testimony you'll give this evening will be the truth? Okay. Thank you.
Now, for the record, don't go away. We need you. State your, which is your profession and your license, please.
We could do it that way, or as he's calling them, he could just make sure they're qualified.
I'll go through their credentials as each one of them comes up, and we can go through their license.
Okay, that's the case. Yeah, let's just stipulate they have their credentials, and they meet the qualifications to testify, and that's it.
Of course.
Okay. That's actually a better way of doing it.
Sure.
Please proceed.
Okay, we want to come closer, just so
may I have show of hands in the audiences? People, are they here to see for this application? Okay. So we don't. There's not many here. So let's just orientate it toward the board, and then the public.
Can't hear you.
They can't hear. Okay, they're setting it up just fine.
Do you have the hearing aid? Do you have the hearing aid?
He's got it. Tim's got it. For future reference, we can connect these TVs with a laptop, and people can use these to present. So as people come through, we'll let people know that. But we can actually do presentations on these TVs.
Okay.
Wow. There's a connection right behind Dave Smith there.
All right. So, Mr. Blake. Mr. Chairman, I'm just going to go through Ms. McGuire's qualifications. Fine. So, Michaela, if you can give the board your professional credentials, licenses held, whether they're in good standing, educational background, and experience testifying before similar boards.
Yes. So, once again, I'm a licensed professional engineer in the state of New Jersey. I received my Bachelor of Science from the University of Delaware. I have over 7 years of experience in land use development in the state of New Jersey, and I've been accepted in multiple boards across the state of New Jersey as an expert.
We'll accept your credentials, please.
Thank you.
Please proceed.
All right, so Michaela, why don't we just get started by going over existing conditions, and then we can go into the proposed site plan.
Okay. So I'm going to start here with an aerial exhibit that was prepared by our office dated January 8th, 2025. And I'm going to mark this as A1.
That's fine.
Gotcha. Thank you.
So the site itself is located at 4900 Wellington Avenue, also known as County Route 629. The site is also known as Block 303, Lot 2.01. The lot area is about 128,000 square feet, or 2.95 acres, and the site is located in the Wellington Avenue redevelopment plan. About 500 feet to the east is the border of the Ventnor City and Atlantic City, and then about 220 feet to the west is the Ventnor City Shopping Center. To the north and south of the property are essentially just wetlands or marsh areas. Specifically, the property to the north is located in the Environmental District Zone, and it is across Wellington Avenue, and again, you could see it's essentially